Hi, this is Steve at My Paraspace. You can visit us on the web at www.myparaspace.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Get enough Ghostly Talk? You go to addunderground.com and click on Slack and Radio every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Check out past shows of Ghostly Talk.
Mine's frozen! How's that done, mate?
Yeah, you see, I was right. It's the poltergeist. It's making him float.
Get a beast! Get a vicar! I believe in God!
I have to thank my lovely, wonderful, beautiful girlfriend for buying me I celebrated my birthday this week, you know?
Yep.
And she bought me the young ones every single episode.
And that's where the poltergeist
I had. I couldn't help myself. I had to gank it, man. We were watching that episode, and I'm like, great. Oh, that's going to sound great on the show.
We're going to have the British Wire.
They'll be happy. I'm pimping the young ones for them. They'll be happy about that.
Buy it. But you know what? Mm-hmm. My favorite, Master of Self.
Master of Self.
That was
You never would think you'd hear a hip-hop song on Ghostly Talk.
Hey, it's independent.
It's independent. This gentleman came to us and said, hey, you know, you guys are doing independent music. Here's a tune, check it out, you know, and I'm like, this is cool stuff. Let's put it on.
It's independent. It doesn't matter if it's hip-hop. It doesn't matter if it's folk. Well, of course, I love folk. That's my own favorite thing. But the metal that we usually play, all of it, it's all independent now on Ghostly Talk.
Yeah, every single thing we do on here is independent.
And I want people to support independent artists. I want people to support
in all shapes and forms.
Exactly. And that's why we play. And Master Self was kind enough to have us play that.
Yeah,
I absolutely love it.
Me too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And we are, I think he's still here. I don't think he's given up on us yet. I know we're sitting here like a bunch of drooling automatons going, huh, oh my God, how do we handle all this stuff? But I believe it is.
It's a lot of information. And I have to say, don't forget, the lines are open now for folks who listen live. I know most of our folks are going to get this tomorrow morning in the podcast form.
Yeah.
But we are on radio stations and we're on internet
right
radio stations. So if you're listening live, which is, you know, 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern time on Sundays, 1-866-585-1355.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about, we're talking with the author, Dr. John J. Harper. He's the author of Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, Transformers.
I don't want to
like throw back to the Transformers, which of course are completely different.
Well, you know, and I almost slipped and said that I was going to go Transformers More Than Meets the Eye, but I left it alone.
Now it's out there, and we're totally messed up.
Now Hasbro is just going to kill us.
Yes, we'll have the English lawyers and the Hasbro lawyers, but Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Harper, you are absolutely blowing our minds because you've already connected all things for us, which is amazing, through a single molecule of DNA.
Mm.
And we brought in, of course, my favorite, Edgar Cayce. So we're getting there. This is awesome. This is great stuff for me to think about. This is what I like to do, learn.
Exactly. Now, Dr. Harper, also, you know, we were talking a little bit on the break, too. You mentioned something about the fifth dimension. Now, I know we live in a three-dimensional world. Now, okay, I'm not going to ask you what happened to the fourth dimension. We won't even worry about that. But
We jumped right up to the fifth dimension.
Yeah, we just said, let's just go to the fifth dimension. What is this idea we're talking about as far as the fifth dimension is concerned?
Well, let me all get us together then by talking for a second about the fourth dimension.
Okay.
You know, you're right. We got three dimensions here, height, you know, length, and depth.
Mm-hmm.
We also have time. We experience a sequence of events. So that's the fourth dimension.
Okay.
And in physics, Albert Einstein was the one in his theory of relativity, said, okay, guys, space and time are really not all that different because as you start moving sequentially through the space that you're in three-dimensionally, you're experiencing the fourth dimension, which is movement or distance or time. All right. You know, so the fifth dimension is what physics says is the source of all the other dimensions. In other words, the fifth dimension is the dimension of light or the vacuum of space, what we're calling now in physics the zero-point field.
Okay.
And the zero-point field is important to my work and my research and my conclusions because that is at absolute 0 degrees, 450-plus degrees minus Fahrenheit, absolute zero, where supposedly no molecules could move, and therefore they wouldn't give off any heat, and if they didn't give off any heat, they wouldn't lose any of their, you might say, essence.
Okay.
Okay, so the vacuum of space, you know, the Earth itself now is in the vacuum of space. It's spinning on its axis, on its orbit, and it's rotating at the rate of approximately every 24, 25 hours. It's going around its axis, and it's oriented towards the sun, of course, and that is what that heat from the sun, of course, is what allows us to be alive, or we would be in the vacuum of space and we would go into an instant ice age and be frozen in place.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah. here's where this all connects up with the Mayans, and you were talking about Edgar Cayce and the Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
And Edgar Cayce said that the pyramids is what would eventually unlock the wisdom of the ages in terms of all this physics and metaphysics coming together through trance.
Okay.
He said it a little differently, but not much. If you look at some of his quotes, he talks about this, and I quote him in my book in a few places, but here's the important thing. I know now that fifth dimensional state of consciousness is the state of the shaman, of the mystic, of the Mayan priest, of the Egyptians who dealt with the pyramids, like the great Giza pyramid,
mm-hmm.
and the one with the Sphinx in front of it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this has to do with ancient wisdom that is now being rediscovered by folks like myself and many others who realize that we are now headed, as the Mayans say, to the end of time, which is not the end of existence. And as I say it, 2012 is about not running out of time, but falling into eternity.
Okay.
That means into a timeless realm, and that is the realm of the fifth dimension. We're beyond space and time, and we can create whatever reality we want.
You know, we've talked to a few people in the last couple of weeks where a lot...
And I bring up 2012 all the time.
We're always talking about 2012. we just talked to our friend Clyde Lewis this past Friday, and we were discussing things along the same lines here. And he talked about a thing, and he was very, very, very serious in making this clear to us that because I phrased it wrong, like I phrased everything wrong. He's like, you know, an end is coming, and I'm like, what do you mean the end's coming?
Yeah, and suddenly we all jump to the end.
Yeah, we're like the end is here. Oh my God, we're all dead. He's like, no, an end. Not the end, not the end as in kaput, everything's done, forget it, lights out, goodbye. And to where, like, what we are now, there is going to be a huge change. And we were talking around the year 2012.
Which, of course, then also, we always neglect to couple an end with another beginning.
Yeah, another beginning, yeah.
And so he's talking about an end and a beginning is coming. Mm-hmm. And that was hard for me to wrap my little brain around.
Well, absolutely.
But, you know,
I got
it eventually.
So, and now you're saying the same thing, kind of. It is basically the same thing. There is going to be an end to how we do things or how we think or how we operate as human beings and a beginning. Because, you know, that's the thing I always forget, that there is there's a beginning after that. And that's what you're saying here, Dr. Harper, is that it's a new way of looking at reality. Am I correct?
It's a new way of experiencing reality.
Okay. All right.
Because what the biggest shift will be is that we will no longer experience ourselves as separate from nature. In other words, if you're in a total natural environment and you have the ability to communicate telepathically, mm-hmm. it'll be basically like plugging yourself into the computer and where time just goes by. You just don't know where the time went mm-hmm. because you're immersed in this exchange of information and communication.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great feeling of being alive
mm-hmm.
beyond anything that we're experiencing now.
And this is going to be at one with not just nature, I'd say. I think as in one with the universe, it sounds to me. Where,
yes.
I mean, and this all would, and this, see, I'm just trying to understand this, Dr. Harper. I really am trying to get my head around this like Doug is. And this is more or less, and I've heard other people say this, that we are nothing more as human beings. We really are nothing more than little information systems in this great big world we're in. And it sounds like this is the next step we're going to, is that we're going to reach that next level of being information systems where we'll actually be plugged into the system finally. Am I correct?
That's correct. And the metaphor that I still enjoy the most is we're like in a cocoon, like a caterpillar, and we're about ready to break into being the butterflies that we really are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting that when that caterpillar is in the chrysalis, that cocoon, that what really transforms it into the butterfly is a burst of light, a sudden burst of light.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Dr. Colm Kelleher has discovered happens within our DNA, that there's a sequence of genes that can come together in a moment of time and literally bring us the light body that he senses and that I know that we're living around or within right now.
Well, we hear about, you know, and we're talking about the light now, we hear about there's all these different belief systems on this planet right now. There's all these different sects of religion. Some fight, some don't, some just kind of hang out and do their thing, right? But there's a lot of these sects of, I'm not going to use the R word, I'm just going to say these belief systems, these formulations of ideas. And a lot of these, I find, they're looking for the same thing. They're looking for the light, Dr. Harper. They're trying to find illumination. They're trying to find the light. Is there some type of, I mean, I'm trying to see if there's some type of correlation here.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. This is all integrated, and I know we all come from a different perspective because we have a different set of life experiences.
Yeah.
We've also been exposed to different sets of information. Some of it's been processed by us. Some of it we've not had an opportunity, you might say, to really look at it as I have been able to do and been blessed to do the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a very distinguished cell biologist and good friend of mine, Dr. Bruce Lipton, who wrote the preface, the foreword to my book, and he talks about we are masters of our fate. And what Dr. Lipton is saying in his book, The Biology of Belief, is that we are the environment. In other words, and we got to go back to DNA for a second.
Mm-hmm.
DNA is thought about as the brain of the cell. The DNA is the brain. No, that's not true, Dr. Lipton says. And he was at Stanford University School of Medicine doing this research years ago. Finally, he's had this tremendous explosion of insight, and he left his tenured professorship and started lecturing all over the world. He's in probably tonight he's sitting actually in Auckland, New Zealand.
Wow.
And teaching medical school there, but he lives in the San Francisco Bay Area. He travels all over the world, and I'm in contact with him weekly almost, his people anyway. And what's exciting now is we're getting to the science of this spiritual information, and it all deals with the fact that the DNA molecule, that's the memory. That's long-term memory.
Mm-hmm.
Where the brain of the cell is on the membrane, on the outside of the cell. And what that means, folks, is that we have about 50 trillion cells that make up our body. Well, if the cell membrane, the outer rim of the cell, is really where the intelligence and the information and the energy is being transposed and collected and processed, then all of our cells, our whole body is an antenna. Our whole body is this antenna.
No, and see, I've never heard it put that way, though, too. I mean, and I am from the old school. I mean, and this obviously isn't what Dr. Lipton, I mean, we wouldn't agree on that. And I mean, it's an interesting idea that, you know, I've always thought that, I never thought, let's just say, that the outer membrane of the cell we're talking about would be where the intelligence is at, whatever that intelligence may be. The body is comprised, obviously, of trillions, like you just said. Did you say around 50 trillion?
Some say 50 trillion, some say 75 or more. But, you know, it's a ballpark number. They're dying and being reborn all the time. You talk about reincarnation, you're talking about DNA.
Oh, yeah. I never thought about that either. And see, this whole thing, this is a totally new idea. I've never heard this before. Doug, you're just kind of sitting there going,
I was reading through these other questions.
No, really?
Like, oh, my God. This book is about everything. I absolutely love it. But one of the things, I know you were talking about that, but... you were talking about, this is what really attracts me, okay? One of the questions that you've been asked before, and I want to ask this to get your impression, then I want to probably follow up, is there's the common theme that links the mind to matter directly by what you call in your book mind metal. You say there's, in fact, no such thing as mind over matter phenomena, which, of course, I'm very interested in, because the mind is matter itself. And you, people have asked you to explain this, and I want you to explain it to me, if you could.
Well, one of the great scholars in psychology and medicine from the last century was Carl Jung. Do you remember the work of Dr. Carl Jung from Austria, Switzerland?
I absolutely worship his ideas on synchronicity, Dr. Harper.
Yes, exactly. And one of the things that Carl Jung worked with other physicists, other scholars, other MDs, in fact, And is little known in the general public, but he was big on alchemy. Carl Jung really understood, had some great insights into astrology and alchemy and some of the ancient magical systems of Egypt, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And what he said was, and I quote him in my book several places, he said that spirit is as much a metal as it is information. And he meant by this, literally, this ancient idea of alchemy that you could take lead and turn it into gold. Now, others say that's a metaphor for turning physical matter into spiritual light bodies. And I agree with all of that. I think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the connecting link then, Doug, for your question, is that if everything in the body and everything on this planet and everything in this solar system and everything in this cosmos is basically made of water, which it is, life comes from the water, the H2O molecule, and that is DNA too. That's filled with life, okay?
Mm.
And so everything is connected in the universe as a living being of consciousness that is filled to the brim with DNA molecules.
Doug? Looks like, okay.
Can you administer CPR?
I'm trying to think of a practical application for such
mm-hmm.
knowledge. Does that help explain these phenomena that I've seen over and over?
Yes.
Okay.
It does because, again, the DNA molecule, according to the world as I see it, is based on DNA that's a liquid crystal that does not die. It is immortal. It can self-replicate, self-heal, in other words. You can transform it, as you were saying about energy, but you can't destroy it. It'll just reconfigure and pop out as another life form.
Mm.
That's what's going on all over this planet. We're seeing the simultaneous extinction of some species and the spontaneous advance of others.
Mm.
And that's what human beings are going to do. They're coming from the caterpillar stage to the butterfly stage. And so in this process of energy transformation, when you see a physical form die, they don't really die. They're just shedding the physical body, the cocoon they're in now. This is all why I'm talking about plants, animals, humans, everything. And they are then in the fifth dimensional state of consciousness back to the source of all life, the zero-point field.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't see it because our third eye is not open, but we get senses and glimpses. These are the things that go bump in the night.
Mm-hmm.
And we just can't see them with our two physical eyes, and you have to be in a special state of consciousness called trance
mm-hmm.
in order to sense them clearly and physically. In other words, I mean, we all get these premonitions, but I'm talking about real objects, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and see, the thing I'm wondering now. Well, go ahead, Doug. You looks like you're
what? Yeah, I'm forming a question. I'm trying.
We'll wait for you.
This is really, really good
because
I'm learning a lot. I'm connecting a lot of dots, and that's why it's so good to have you on the phone, Dr. Harper. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug.
What about I hear over and over and over again, folks who go into trances or folks who talk to spirits or folks who I ghost hunt with. There's all kinds of folks, and they always talk about vibration. And I notice you've mentioned it, DNA being a crystal, right, twice now. And what I'm thinking is, I've always heard that, crystals can, if you think about, like, quartz crystals, for example, they can be, not changed, but they vibrate.
They have a certain resonance vibration exactly.
Kind of thing going on, and you can't see it. It's it happens if you're experimenting on it in a lab.
Mm-hmm.
But what is there a frequency or a vibrational aspect to this what you've studied?
Yes, in fact, that everything is a vibration. Everything has a unique frequency. David Bohm, who is one of the great physicists of our time, who ended up retiring in England before his passing to the other side. But David Bohm was one that really came home with this idea that he said, if physics and metaphysics are the same in essence, it means that there's a unique frequency assigned to every single molecule, and that is what quantum physics is discovering. And, they talk about quarks and color, and they have some very interesting names in quantum physics. They're talking about the spectrum of energies, this rainbow of light that is visible under certain conditions in the laboratory and also to us in certain states of consciousness? Yes, the answer is yes. We are all talking about the same thing. We're talking about vibrations.
Okay, and leading up to this, I don't even know if we have some type of direction with this at all. If we're just jumping all over the map, Dr. Harper, I'm sorry if we are.
I'm just getting all my
questions. No, we're doing good, guys.
Okay, cool. All right,
I'm just getting all my questions answered. I'm thinking,
if these get really tough for us, Doug, we're going to let Scott do the rest.
I'm thinking that you're probably the first person who could convince me that I could walk through a solid door.
I want to see this right now.
That's for another show.
I really think you could. If you studied hard enough and then came up with some, you would probably write it down in a book and then I'd get it and then it'd say like, oh yeah, you can walk through doors, all you have to do is this. And I'd be like, oh, sure, why not? I think you could convince me that we're the same.
Well, yeah.
Me and the door.
I tell you what, why don't we do this? Let's take another quick break, all right?
I know, it's 4 minutes early for the break,
I'm going to need it first of all, but the thing is also is that I have a couple questions I wanted to ask, but I want us to be able to get it all in one nice big chunk, you know what I'm saying? So why don't we take a quick break, Dr. Harper, if that's okay with you.
That's fine.
Let's take one more break here. I think this is like a big. This has been a solid hour, if you agree with me, Doug, of having my mind blown so far. Where do I go now? Where do I go?
Right.
I'm trying to formulate sentences, and they don't want to formulate.
Mine either. My questions even are coming up as little jumbles.
This is new stuff.
This is great.
Whole new ideas. Let's take a quick break. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
We'll be right back. I hope.
I am that door.
Yeah, you're that door.
I am that door.
Hello, this is Francis Sampier, producer of the upcoming independent horror film, Moral Road. This is a horror film based on an actual Michigan legend about a ghost who's searching for her baby.
Take the poison from my veins. Take the evil from my mind. Take the brokenness I am. Take the pieces as they fall. Thank you.
from talk to rock and everything in between. The best variety is right here on the OmniSal Radio 1 Network.
Look, I've got something well scary to lay on you, okay? Strange things are happening in this house. Furniture keeps disappearing. Plates keep, like, moving about the place. The table is shrinking. And last night, I found my guitar on the fire. Do you know what all this means?
Yeah!
No! Yeah! It means we've got a poltergeist.
I'm loving the young ones, man. I'm loving that stuff.
Fun. I have to say I am old enough. I do indeed remember.
I think I'm just old enough.
They used to play them on, I think,
MTV. When MTV, yeah. Well, I hate to pimp the M word on this show.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I have to say that's when MTV actually had quality programming and not one reality TV show after another reality TV show putting porn stars with rock stars and seeing what they're going to do. That was actually a time when they actually played really interesting, weird stuff that, you know, you wouldn't normally see anywhere else.
Right. So, and, yeah, those days are long gone, but...
But you have Ghostly Talk now, so that's even better.
Yeah, that's true. That was the musical break was provided by Mike in Death.
Yeah, Mike in Death.
Thank you. So we had Tone and Niche, The Transmission, mm-hmm. Master of Self, and Mike in Death.
Talk about a power mix.
Wow.
That's like...
Clear Channel would have fired us in a
minute. Oh, they'd like, the beats per minute alone would have got us sued right there alone.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. This is Ghostly Talk, and I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
We're talking with Dr. John J. Harper, a clinical hypnotherapist, a futurist and medical research scientist, and a guy who can really make my brain hurt. We're talking about the book, Transformers, mm-hmm. Shamans of the 21st Century, mm-hmm. among other things.
Yeah. Really?
This is going to be absolutely amazing. I 1-866-585-1355 to order the book right now. Mm-hmm. I know that most folks will pick up the podcast, mm-hmm. and things like that. I imagine you'd call the same thing. Or you go to
his website. Go to the site, yeah.
Go to www.johnjharper.com, and mm-hmm. that's John, J-O-H-N-J-J-A-Y. Mm-hmm. So you have to spell that out. Harper, H-A-R-P-E-R.com.
Yeah.
And, of course, Amazon.com and all those other places.
Oh, yeah, they all got it.
And the book is called Transformers,
mm-hmm.
Shamans of the 21st Century. Wow.
Dr. Harper, you know, we've talked up until now about the bottom line, really, with all the, you know, with all the details and all the mechanics we got into, which, mind you, I'm still, there's like I said on Friday, there was some wetness on the inside of my ears, and that was actually blood, I think. I don't know what it was, but...
you're in for a major breakthrough right after that.
Same thing's happening tonight, Dr. Harper. We're talking about all these things, and it all leads up to a change, an end, to something and a beginning to something else. My question, and this is a huge question, I think, is that I don't think this is going to happen overnight. We're not going to wake up and in some whole new way of thinking, and it's never that easy. It just don't work that way. I mean, when you have a sore throat, you just don't wake up one morning and feel better. I know that from personal experience this week. It's a gradual thing. You kind of come down off that, and then you finally feel better, and you feel back to where you were again. I'm trying to figure out, what's the change going to be like? Do we have any idea of, is it going to be a gradual change? Are we going to have to be reschooled in certain ways? What are the changes we're going to go through to get to this new point in our existence?
Well, because DNA is what we're talking about more than anything else that is going to transform us, we realize that information, the mere collection, dissemination, digestion of information is changing DNA. On my website, I've got a whole section dedicated to what I call the butterfly effect,
mm-hmm.
and that is a whole list of cutting-edge science and metaphysics as well, that talks about that we know now that DNA is very similar to being a computer-linked internet system worldwide. So directly answering your question, some of us are already there now experiencing this new level of consciousness. How did we do it? We did it either through personal experience, such as a near-death experience, and remember, millions of people have had the near-death experience.
Oh, yeah.
I know people, I've talked with people who have been clinically dead for 90 minutes and spontaneously healed themselves and saw many of the things that we're talking about this evening to be true. And so I went out and interviewed these folks, and they started talking to me about 100 years in the future, 200 years in the future, 400 years in the future. I said, whoa, wait a minute. How can you determine that that's the future we're going to be if we, you know, the technology could take us one way or another way, right? And they said, no. The consistent theme is that there is a known path of evolution, spiritual and physical evolution, of the same evolution is what I'm saying, and that we're going back to nature. The technology is merely, you might say, training wheels for us to reconfigure our DNA. In other words, we had to get linked up somehow, and this is what the computer has done for us. The World Wide Web, the Internet, is a metaphor of this telepathy, this telepathic link that's going to happen, is happening to us. And folks who can enter the trance state can confirm that for themselves now. So what's the future going to be like? It's going to be this interconnectivity, this deep sensitivity to one another. In other words, we will not be able to hurt one another pretty soon without feeling it deeply within ourselves. Who do we say is the most dysfunctional among us? It's the people that have no conscience, right?
Exactly, yes.
Now, if you think a thought and the other person is injured by it, you immediately either do one of two things. You become compassionate and say, I felt that, I sense what you were telling me, and I'm not taking an offense. Or you can say, I don't think that you and I are ready for a relationship, and I'm going to remove myself from you. That's going to be part of that, the ups and downs we're going to get into. We're already there. We're doing this now. We're just not saying it maybe this clearly. Okay, so now we start connecting with one another, and the environment will change. The DNA that's in water and air and trees and animals, etc., they're all communicating through this electromagnetic spectrum that we're immersed in right now. And they react to this information in different ways than we do. However, we are all always impacting one another's health and well-being. And this might take us to the bird flu and mad cow and all that. But yes, it has to do with the degradation of information fields because the environment has become so toxic, it's no longer supporting the evolutionary vision of what I've just shared.
Well, what we're saying then, more or less, is the Internet, the World Wide Web, like you said, the way I'm seeing it, kind of, it's the same way you're seeing it. It's more of a model of what are things that come, so to say. We're looking at we look at the Internet and how it connects the whole world. That's what's the most fascinating thing, obviously, about the Internet. Ghostly talk wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for the Internet. We wouldn't even be in existence if it wasn't for the World Wide Web. It seems as if it's a model of things to come. Do you follow me on that, Dr. Harper?
Absolutely, and all technologies are exactly what you're sharing here, Scott. In fact, it's even beyond that. You know, you think, let's go down to the basic level of evolution for a second. Think about an ant colony, okay, and the ants are down here underground here beneath our feet. Everywhere that my voice is being communicated this evening, there's an ant hill, an ant farm going on, a colony, if you will. Now, you might, in one way, we're the ants that are now living on top of the ground, and we've built these homes and structures and buildings, etc., to house us. It's very similar. So it's, again, the old ancient idea, as above, so below, as within, so without.
Okay,
so the technology outside of us came from inside of us. It came from ideas and information and images that were inside of us, and we connected the dots, the Legos, if you will, the Lincoln log sets. We connected it on the outside of us, but first it was inside of us. And so all we did was transform one form of energy, mind energy, into matter energy. And I'm saying they're the same thing because they're connected through DNA.
Well, yeah, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, actually, lately, too. And if you look around at technology, the things around us nowadays, obviously technology, things are getting even more they're getting smaller, they're getting more complex, and they're getting faster. Those are the three things that I see as far as technology goes. And the easiest example, like, well, aside from the computer, which is an obvious one, I always like to use the automobile as an example. Now, aside from its drawbacks, air pollution and things like that, I think about the human body, for example. This is something I think about often. And I look at an automobile, and I look at them as in one of the same. And this is it seems like this is the same thing you're talking about, Dr. Harper, where the automobile, it's a system just like our functioning body is. It's a system of different parts that all work together to create one outcome, or many outcomes, so to say, depending on how you look at it. Am I in the right, am I somewhere in the right ballpark with that, Dr. Harper?
It's exactly the picture that that I have as well.
This
is all talking about this idea that we're all interconnected. And if I could make even a more dramatic statement here, you know, the terrorists that we're experiencing in the world, in the Middle East, for example, I mean, that's a part of us now that's very dysfunctional. And but in an organic sense, it's like they're viruses and bacteria that are trying to kill the living body that is the rest of humanity, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know, in the military, I'm an ex-military man, so we talk about surgical strikes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, think about what you just said, Scott. We're talking about technologies and language that mirror exactly what we are trying to create outside in the external world.
Mm-hmm.
And we're using these metaphors like from medicine or computer science or nanotechnology.
Yeah.
But all of this stuff is connected into one living organic system called life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's a great metaphor right there, too. I never even thought about it that way. I mean, it's in regards to terrorism and the things that are going on in the world today. You do think about your human body. If there's anything that is a ground for being terrorized at all times, it seems, scientifically speaking, that the human body is taking a beating 24 hours a day. There's always some bacteria or some virus or something trying to make its way into your body to make you not work or make you sick or take over or whatever it may do. That's real terrorism right there when you think about it.
And it's even more so what you're saying if you realize that those viruses and bacteria and organisms are always inside of your body. They're not coming from outside.
Mm-hmm.
They're already inside, but suddenly they attuned to a resonant frequency outside. In other words, let's say you had something toxic in the environment
mm-hmm.
around you. Well, some of those toxins are already being processed through your lungs and in your water and the air you're breathing.
Mm-hmm.
You just got too much of it concentrated at once, so you couldn't detoxify quickly enough. But it's already in the body. The same with the bacteria and the viruses. They're just waiting for an opportunistic moment.
Mm-hmm.
When your immune system is compromised, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And so if you look out in the world, the terrorists are saying that, you know, they're very unhappy folks and they don't really care about you and me, and they are there to destroy. They're really about death and dying, and the rest of us are trying to struggle to stay alive in the physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And so the military gets a call to go to the front. That's our immune system. Those soldiers, those men and women, brave men and women, are out there on the front lines. They're our immune. Those are our T cells, and they're trying to boost the immunity of the collective community of cells.
Mm-hmm. See, it does, and it does. It's an exact metaphor.
Okay, my turn.
All right, I was going to tag you. I was going to tag you in.
Tag me.
Okay, I've done enough here. I've been beaten at them enough. It's your turn, Doug.
We've talked. There's no possible way to segue the two things.
There's no. It's impossible.
I've totally given up on that.
Yeah.
So I want to tell you two. I want to mention two things, Dr. Harper, and then as background, and then I want to ask a question. The first thing is, we've already talked about Edgar Cayce, and Edgar Cayce, of course, made many predictions about Earth changes, right?
Right.
And also, I happened to, the very first time, Will, the very first time I went out to find Morrow Road,
mm-hmm.
I had no clue where I was going, and I ended up stopping. I'm sorry, this was the second time, and I still had no clue where I was going.
Okay, neither did I.
Yeah, and I ended up stopping and talking with a police officer. And the police officer said, we were in a gas station, he says, well, I'll tell you what, meet me by my car, and I'll tell you how to get to Morrow Road. I'll just take you there. And I said, oh, okay. So we went out and waited by the car, and when he was done, you know, doing whatever he did or getting his coffee or whatever, he came out to the car, and he starts telling me this story. And Dr. Harper, this is where it comes over to you. he told us about being stationed on Mount Rainier, and that evidently is a big hot spot of UFO activity. And he said that one day he saw one. He saw a UFO. And so he calls over to some other tower, and he says, "Did you see that?" And the other watchman or whatever he was said, "No, we didn't see anything because we're not logging a thing." And it was understood that, yeah, they did see it. It's just that you don't put it in the log. So anyway, what happens is I happen to know that in your book, Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century, Earth change predictions. I want to know what those are.
Poor guy.
Well, we can certainly speak to a couple of them with the time we have left.
Oh yeah.
I was born and raised in the Seattle, Washington area, and I was raised at the base of Mount Rainier. So this will tie in then a little bit of what you're saying about your UFO testimony from your colleague there, and also what happened to me in June of 1944. I went to an interview. I retired from the U.S. Navy in 1993, and in 1994 I went to Kirksville, Missouri for a job interview, and about 4 a.m. again, found myself in this trance or lucid state of consciousness and bolted out of bed, and I was in a Days Inn motel room, and I stood up, and I had this panoramic vision, this very traumatic vision of Mount Rainier erupting, and it was just violent, and I saw the top of the mountain literally explode, and it really shook me, because here I was in Kirksville, Missouri. I had just come from that area about 3 days prior, and I was going, what is this all about now? And so anyway, I declined the job interview, in fact, and I actually went back to Seattle area, and I told my wife Connie, and I had three kids in the house at the time, I said, we're leaving this area, we're going to go inland 300 miles to Spokane, Washington, and we did. We sold our home, and within 90 days we wrapped up our business affairs and we moved to where I am talking to you this evening. But that really shattered me, and I started looking at these earth changes more seriously. I heard all the kind of new age nonsense, as I used to say at the psychobabble, about some of this stuff, but I'm pretty humble about it now, because I understand a great deal more than I did, you know, 10, 15 years ago. It has to do with a magnetic shift, and this will take us to the Mayans and to the Egyptians, and we can wrap this thing up with earth changes and visions that a lot of folks are having. Mm. It has to do with the fact that you think of the earth as a magnet. It's got a north and a south pole. You have the sun, which is 1 million times larger than the earth. It also has polar characteristics.
Mm.
And sunspot cycles, 11-year sunspot cycles, tie into this.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got a huge Milky Way galaxy center point, what many call the black hole. We know now what the Mayans and the Egyptians and the native shamans were talking about when they started talking about these earth changes and the shifting of the poles, and what Edgar Cayce was talking about, earthquakes, hurricanes, all this different weird weather phenomenon. It's linked to the magnetic shift of the new age. That's the beginning of the age of Aquarius, the water bearer.
Okay.
And wow. The tsunamis. And all of this that we have seen since December 2004 in Asia,
uh-huh.
We had an earthquake of 7.5 in South Africa, I believe it was Friday evening. They've never had an earthquake in our lifetimes like that ever. This has to do with the core of the earth, which is a liquid crystal. It's also metallic, it's iron, etc., but it's also a liquid molten plasma form. It's this huge crystal, like in a radio receiver, picking up the information, shifting the energy around, and trying to rotate this planet into a new alignment with the center of the Milky Way.
Man. Okay.
And
all right.
The thing is, we've all been noticing this stuff. I
well,
mean,
yeah,
we
it's
all know
been
what
picking up a lot over the last couple of years.
We all know that we ran out of hurricane names, and, you know, last year. I mean, something's happening.
Yes.
And so the molten core of the Earth is acting as a huge liquid crystal,
mm-hmm.
trying to reorganize itself to line up with the rest of the universe? Is that it?
Well, think of this. If we think of the Earth as a real small magnet, the
right.
Sun is a little bit larger magnet,
mm-hmm.
and the Milky Way galaxy, the core of it, the center point of it, where you're getting these bursts of gamma rays and all this now,
yeah.
well, just try to think of holding three magnets in some configuration in your body or in your, you know, in front of you, and trying to get them to line up. If you've ever held a couple small, powerful magnets, you immediately sense if they ever lock on, you know you're never going to break that bond.
Right, right.
Have you had some of those powerful magnets?
Oh, yes.
All right. So, you know, a good old high school or college physics class will do this for you.
Uh-huh.
But that's what we're talking about. In our brain, left and right hemisphere is impacted by these electromagnetic fields. And so you've got a left and right brain trying to really line up with the north and south poles of the Earth. Then we get into feng shui and we get into, you know, sacred geometry. But all these things are connected through the energetic patterns that we live in.
Oh, my God.
So was your vision of Mount Rainier erupting, was that prophetic or was that metaphor?
Initially, I didn't know, and I didn't even know the difference, perhaps. But now I'm convinced, as I've looked at the geophysics, that you're on a huge fault line off the coast of Washington, Oregon, the Cascadia subduction zone,
mm-hmm.
about 80 miles off the coast there. You've got this huge tectonic plate shifting around. And the scientists now in the Northwest here, they're already talking about it's just a matter of time. It's not a matter of, you know, when it will happen. It's going to happen. And we've got a volcano, Augustine, up in Alaska, really doing some things, dancing around right now. And I just got a thing across the wire service here to me from some other colleagues. I haven't read it yet, but it talks about we're in a very, very sensitive time for the entire West Coast perhaps to be shaken volcanically this spring.
Well, I know that Mount St. Helens decided to wake up a little bit ago. And of course, was it last year or the year before, or both, Yellowstone National Park even decided to...
it's a super volcano.
Yeah, it decided to have a indigestion. And so things are definitely going on out west. Is Michigan safe at least?
Are we okay here in Michigan?
Well, I think you guys are in a pretty strategic spot. In fact, I think the whole top tier here of southern Canada and northern USA are pretty good, except on the immediate coastlines.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to remember that this is happening not because we're, you know, somehow being punished for something per se. The toxicity of the environment is definitely degraded, and we are responsible or irresponsible
mm-hmm.
for that. But in terms of these huge geophysical changes, these were going to happen. The problem is that because we didn't understand the wisdom of the ancients, we refused to accept that things can change dramatically very quickly. So we're all kind of sitting around here, you know, sticking our fingers in our ear, looking at our shoes, when we should have our ears wide open, our eyes wide open, and looking up.
Mm.
Because on the Orion constellation, in my book, I talk in the last chapter about the wisdom that's been shared with me from near-death experiencers and also other scholars, and it has to do with the alignment of the Orion constellation and those three stars in the belt stars of Orion, which match perfectly the three pyramids adjacent to the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt. And what it says in short is that on or around 2012, June 2012, December 2012, in that window, there's going to be a tremendous shift of energy. This magnetic field is going to increase to the point where there'll be no doubt whatsoever that big changes are imminent.
And that's going to be changes for us and the planet itself.
I mean, we're one and the same
again.
That's
the whole thing. Yeah, it's all one and the same. So we're all in for it. Everybody, everything is going to be in for this. And this confirms a lot of things we keep hearing. And I think the closer we get, I mean, obviously, you know, how the closer we got to the year 2000, it was just all these different ideas. And then the year 2000 came, and really not too much stuff changed.
Right.
Exactly. And what's going to happen with 2012, that's the same thing. Some people will be experiencing time accelerating. Others will sense it's slowing down. It's a real personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so others are already enlightened to this now. I know many of them. It's not going to be much of a shift for them.
Mm-hmm.
Others, it's going to be dramatic because they're going to be looking down at the ground all the way to 2012. They're going to be looking around and their friends and everyone's going to be dancing to a new tune.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to even be listening to the music.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what I mean? And so we got to help one another by sharing information, remaining open, because it is not really about, like I say, a point in time, but it does at some point, there's a critical mass kind of thing coming on
uh-huh.
in consciousness, and like the twinkling of an eye, everyone will go, aha, and say, oh, I get it now.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was saying before, you know, just a half an hour ago was, you know, this, how's this change going to work? Well, it seems like it's up to us how this change is going to work. You just said it yourself, Dr. Harper. It's going to be different for everybody depending on the kind of person you are. It can be hard on you or it can be easy on you when you think about it. If you prepare yourself for this, it seems like it might be a pretty positive experience for you from what I understand now.
It can be very exciting, and you can get up every day and just look around and say, wow, this is really neat time to be on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wrote the book. I wanted to integrate all these ideas in one volume so folks can carry it around for a little bit. Check it out. You know, it's got 100 URLs in it. It's got packed full of information where you can go and actually share the journey that I've been on and come to your own conclusions about this information.
Absolutely. Well, if the hour and a half we've spent together here
is
tonight,
anything like the book, I'm telling you that this has been absolutely fascinating.
Yes, we need to thank you for coming on the show, Dr. Harper. We really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, hang tight on the line, though. Stay on the line, please, if you don't mind.
I definitely want to remind everybody that Dr. Harper's website is www.johnjay.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the ordered line for the book, 1-866-585-1355.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Amazon.com or go to the website, johnjharper.com. Your website, Dr. Harper, is going to be permanently linked at ghostlytalk.com.
Yep.
On the page where we put all the links. And, of course, the podcast will be available yet tonight. So
it'll
people will start downloading it as they run their iTunes and their Juice and
all their neat little
podcasters. And they'll listen to this and probably go, wow, what doesn't this guy know? I don't know. And I can't wait. I'm absolutely fascinated.
Fascinating ideas. Fascinating, completely fascinating.
I have to thank Tona Niche, the transmission, Master of Self, and Mike in Dust for providing the independent music for the show today.
Chris Wilkins for helping us out.
He does the musical interludes before and after. I have to thank everybody for listening. Thank you everybody on OmniSound. Thank you everybody on Pioneer. Thank you everybody on all of the
all of our affiliates. Yeah.
For listening, that we appreciate it.
Yeah, we really
do.
We really do, guys,
and I know you guys help us a lot with your emails, visiting the website, everything. I appreciate
that's
it all.
What keeps this show going. You need to remember that if we weren't getting any feedback from people, we'd be like, well, what are we doing here?
Right, you know? Exactly.
Because we're not really doing this for a living, so what else are you going to do it for? Let's do it for the people. So that's the most important thing to us.
And the reason we took an extra minute here was so that I can say I'm not going to be on the show next week.
You're not going to be here. I know.
I will not be here. I am gone. Yes.
What are we ever going to do without you?
I don't know, but I hope you can. I hope you.
I might.
I hope you have a absolutely fantastic show, and I know
what
I'll
may do. What I may
podcast.
Do this week is I might go scrounging around, and I might find a special other guest. Special co-host, possibly.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Special guest, a special co-host, maybe somebody new we've never had on the show before.
That'll be interesting.
I was thinking about that actually today, because I knew you weren't going to be here next week, and I'm like, maybe I can bring somebody totally off the cuff. Like, maybe, I don't know. We'll have to see. Maybe we'll surprise everybody next week.
Sounds good. And I'll definitely download the podcast next week. So thank you, everybody.
It's
been a pleasure doing the show. And with that,
I will
close out the show and tell everyone that don't forget, next Sunday, 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we're back on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Full Moon Radio is up next.
Yes, it is.
Zarella,
yes,
on the Pioneer, you know, pioneer.rollo.net.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, everybody. I am Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And this has been Ghostly Talk.
I'll see you guys later. Bye.
I need to go someplace where a man can think. I need to go someplace where I can be.
We'll make it ourselves. Don't hate the media. Become the media.
I need to go someplace where a man can think. Think.
Media.